small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Kyle Dotson.
Kyle, it's just you and I tonight.
Just us.
We are going to do something we call the producer's chair.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the fourth time we've done it. We've done it with Alexi.
Yep.
Did it with He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did it with April.
Yes.
And now I'm doing it with just with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we pick a producer that we like. And we play songs by bands that that producer has produced.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a good one tonight. You got a good one?
I think so.
What else is going on? What have we done lately? We saw...
Saw a Dodger game.
Saw a Dodger game. We saw Mission Impossible Fallout.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Number six.
Yes.
Of six.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rank it. Let's rank them. What's number one for you?
For me, number one is three.
For me, number one is Ghost Protocol. What's your number two?
My number two would be Ghost Protocol.
My number two would be three.
Okay.
So now here we go. What's number three?
I think I like one.
Me too.
And then six.
Okay, so one, and then the new one, then Fallout. Right. Then Rogue Nation,
mm-hmm.
and then two.
Yes.
Which has a couple cool set pieces, but it's a little slow moving at times.
And it's mask happy. Like everyone's wearing a mask and people are wearing two masks. Like it's...
I don't mind the mask though. I do like mask play, but I understand what you mean. But everyone agrees two is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And people might be shocked that Rogue Nation is in the five slot, but it's... It's just, it had Tom Cruise hanging on an airplane and holding his breath underwater, and it's good. It's good, but if we're ranking them.
Rewatching it, I was like, oh, I think in my memory I liked it a lot better than I actually did.
It's corny, too, sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like a part where Simon Pegg's punching like a thing to make it work, the computer to work, and then it's causing... like whatever platform Tom Cruise happens to be on to go up and down.
Yeah.
And
so it's just a little corny.
Like Looney Tunes.
It's good, mm-hmm. but it's number five out of the six.
Yes.
And Fallout is, Fallout's good, but it's not as good as one or Ghost Protocol or mm-hmm. three. I watched Ghost Protocol again. I am still blown out of the water by that one. Love it.
Yeah. He's on a building running in a sandstorm.
It's nuts. Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. What else? Anything else? Did we see any shows?
I did not.
All right. Maybe by the time this drops, I will maybe have seen Ace Frehley open for Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Yeah.
All right. We ready to get into this?
Yeah, let's do this.
Who is do you want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
Why don't you go first? Because you have more songs than I do.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to play all these.
Right. Okay.
But I will go first. My producer, and most of the music that he plays or has produced is harder rocking
mm-hmm.
music from the past by bands that you like some of these bands.
I do.
Like these bands. This guy's name is Martin Birch.
Oh, yeah.
And he produced all the great Iron Maiden albums, except for the first one,
mm-hmm.
which is also a good album. But he produced all the classics. And he's retired now, still with us. He was born in 1948, December 27th. And he started out as an engineer, and then he started to get to produce produce some stuff. So, and he's worked with... not a lot of different artists, and there's a lot of crossover. Like he'll work with an artist, and then that artist will move to another band, mm-hmm. and then he'll work with that band, and all kinds of stuff. So over the past couple of weeks, I've been listening to a lot of Ronnie James Dio, and I've been listening to a lot of the Black Sabbath without Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really like Black Sabbath with Ozzy that much.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is they self-produce those albums mostly. And I think Black Sabbath with Ozzy really would have benefited from a producer.
Yes.
I really do. Because the first Dio Black Sabbath album is Heaven and Hell. And Martin Birch produces it
in
1980. So play for me, Lady Evil.
Yeah.
I mean, that is killer. These, for me, these are the two best Black Sabbath albums, the ones with Ronnie James Dio.
Mm-hmm.
And Dehumanizer is good too. But I mean, these two, first two with Ronnie, are so good. I mean, and it sounds like the band is really having a good time. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm sure people will argue this, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Martin Birch.
That's great.
Good job.
Who
you got?
So I have, I looked up some albums that I liked, you know, and so I've been listening to a lot of Rise Against lately, and I went with their most recent album, Wolves, and I would consider it's like the end of a trilogy of like their most recent three albums. They're kind of like all a little political, kind of story-based sort of thing about the same things. But the first two are produced by two guys who've done a bunch of their albums, and then this one is done by a different guy, and he's done Foo Fighters and Stone Sour and Black Star Riders. So it's Nick Rascal Lynx. Rascal Linux. That's how it's
phonetically spelled.
Yeah, Rascal Linux.
Yeah, that's a tough one to say.
Yeah. So I picked him because I was like, oh, wow, he's done a bunch of stuff that I like.
Fun when you find out, like, you're like, oh, I like this and I like that. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Same guy produced
and there's like
all
a lot
stuff.
A lot of stuff. So let me, let's start with this Rise Against song since that's what brought me to it. And this is from their latest album, Wolves, and this is called House on Fire.
That keeps pushing me away. I thought that we were built this together, but everything I touch just seems to break. Am I your sail or your anchor? Am I the calm or the hurricane? I feel the ground start to shake. I hear a voice shouting no, but there is no fucking way I'd leave you. So I'll just hold you like a
So yeah, nice. He was able to kind of capture the same sound that they had on their previous two albums, which I thought was cool. Because those three all kind of have the same sound. Like I burned a CD with all of them, and like they all just kind of like fit together. So it's cool.
Well, see, that's what I would expect you to do. You're a producer.
Yeah.
Now, do you run in circles with guys like Nick and Martin Birch?
You know, just here and there sometimes. You know, be at a party, a mixer.
No, you mean a mixing board.
Oh, yes. A mixer board.
okay, I'm going to move on to 1972. This is the first band that Michael DeBar was in. This is a band called Silverhead. self-titled album, Silverhead, and friend of the show, Michael DeBar. And this is a song called Ace Supreme. Yes.
So I found something out about Michael DeBar recently. He's in, so obviously he's the villain in MacGyver, which I've never really watched. That Murdoch?
Yeah, Murdoch.
Okay. So, but there's a new MacGyver show that is a continuation of the old series, but he's in an episode, but he's not the old Murdoch. He's just.
Who is he?
He's just some guy. Like, he's just some.
That's ridiculous. Why isn't he just Murdoch?
Yeah.
Did they kill off Murdoch in the original MacGyver series?
I don't know that much about it, but it seems it's just weird to me. It's very strange.
How is it a continuation? I mean,
it's like his son or nephew or whatever.
And has Richard Dean Anderson been in any of the episodes, or is he dead?
In real life?
No. Is the character of the original MacGyver dead?
A guy killed him with a penny
and a toothpick.
I don't know. I didn't come here for MacGyver talk.
It didn't. I tuned in for music, and all I got to hear was some metal and talk.
No, it doesn't say that he is in it, so I guess not.
It's weird.
It is strange.
I was never a MacGyver fan.
I only know about it. I don't think I've ever seen a whole episode or anything like that.
I like that other guy, though. Who's that other guy?
MacGruber?
Yeah, that guy kicks ass.
What a painfully unfunny one-note.
Hey, joke. Let's make that into a movie.
Yep.
Isn't Val Kilmer the villain in that movie?
Yeah.
Is he Murdoch?
No, he's Von Kunth is his name.
That's as bad as Bloodcock.
And
we made that up, Bloodcock. And that's what, Von Kunth?
Yeah. And I have a story because my friend was a Universal rep at Penn State when we were in college. And so they would have screenings of movies that like didn't come out yet. So we saw like Bridesmaids like a month before it came out.
That's pretty cool.
And like Paul, and we saw MacGruber and Kristen Wiig and Will Forte did like a Q&A for the movie, or we're supposed to do a Q&A for the movie. No, they did do one at the end of it. And Val Kilmer was on the plane with them and got into an argument with them and refused to come to the Q&A.
Wow.
And I think they just that night flew him back separately.
And then they gave him throat cancer. Wow, that's gotten an argument with his co-stars.
Yeah, it was like mad. I think he was just mad about something, and I think the story was like Will Forte was saying, because my friend had the scoop. So it was like Will Forte said something like, "Hey, you know, like it's cool, like we're just having fun, you know, we're supposed to be fun." He's like, "It's not fun. It's not fun." Like just screaming and yelling.
What a baby! All right. Well, he's gonna be in Top Gun 2. So let's see.
Yep.
I think I said Top Gun 2. Top Gun 2. All right. What's your next song?
So my next song is, this is, I gotta be honest, the only song I like on this album.
Uh-oh.
But this is, and I think you might agree too. This is Rush's Clockwork Angels.
I actually think I like this album.
But, this is like the single. This is Be You To Be. So.
We'll be right back.
than what we're told. Blind man in the market, buying what we're sold. Believing what we're told, until our final breath.
So you did this album and you did the one before it called Snakes and Arrows.
And that one I love. I love Snakes and Arrows.
Are you
familiar
that one,
with it?
Yeah, I listened to it the other day. I just didn't have it in my iTunes. So.
You know where it is. It's right on my shelf.
Yeah.
But I don't, I really haven't listened to Clockwork Angels that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, if I listened to it today, it would be like listening to it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love Snakes and Arrows, and I did like the song that you just played.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, something a little bit different so that you know that Martin Birch didn't just do the hard rock. He was an engineer with Fleetwood Mac in 1969, 70, and 72 on the albums Then Play On, Kiln House, and Bare Trees. And then in 73, he got the chance to produce, engineer, and mix the album called Penguin. So the song I got pulled up from Penguin is Remember Me. He can do other things.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded great too, didn't
it? It did.
He's a great producer.
Mm-hmm.
I love the bass too on that, the song you played from Clockwork Angels. The bass was
The bass is cool. So that's a little bit of the same story with Fleetwood Mac as Nick Raskolnik. Raskolnik.
Aren't you glad you picked that one?
Yeah.
Just call him Nick R.
Nicker.
Nicker.
Yeah, so it's a little the same story. He did kind of the same thing with Foo Fighters. He was, you know, like an engineer on some of their stuff, and then I guess, you know, probably just got along with Dave, and Dave was like, yeah, why don't you
give a producer a try?
So he was part of the One by One album that was a disaster. When they like recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had to they spent millions of dollars recording an album and then just didn't like how it sounded, and then went to like a house and re-recorded it. But he produced both sessions. So
I love that album.
It's great.
I really think it's great. I think the band still doesn't like it that much, I don't think.
Yeah, they might be the process is just exhausting to them.
Yeah, but I love this album.
So this is great. So this is this song I picked called Lonely As You.
Your own pain I can't choose. Wake up, you're dreaming. I can't stand your screaming. Drowning out these prayers, just some words without meaning. Spare all the preaching, my secret's worth keeping. No one understands like I do. Keep out of reach, I'm your leading deletion. Hide behind these masks, though they still see right through them. Every now and then, you're down and out, my friend. Down and out again. Down and out again. Down and out again, but I'm down with you.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Sweet. Let's go with For me, we're going to go to 1981, Iron Maiden Killers. This is Iron Maiden's second album. Paul Di'Anno on lead vocals.
Mm-hmm.
They asked Martin Birch to do it. And I think he said, why didn't you ask me to do the first one? They're like, we didn't think you'd say yeah. We didn't think we could get you. So he jumps in on the second album. And this is a song. I don't think we played this when we did our Iron Maiden episode.
I don't remember.
This song is called Twilight Zone.
That's one of my favorites from that album.
Yeah, it's great.
The drum sounds awesome on
yep.
it. It's quite the step up from the first album
yeah.
in terms of production.
In terms of production. Like, if he would have done the first album, it would have
yeah.
been even better.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, but it would be even better.
Yeah, and we mentioned it before on the Iron Maiden episode, but if you go to their YouTube page, there are three great hour-and-a-half-long documentaries about kind of like the eras of the band, and it's great.
You'll start watching it and not stop.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh, you know what, I'll just watch a little of the second one.
Yeah, I mean, how much Iron Maiden can I take?
And then 4.5 hours later.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah. You'll love it.
And really, it's fun. And
it's fun and well done.
Mm-hmm. And they talk to everyone, so yeah.
There's no doom and gloom. There's not a lot of mm-hmm. upheaval in the band or drugs or...
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
And the ones they have up there go right up before the Blaze Bailey. Or no, the third one has Blaze Bailey. It's like right when, I think it ends with Bruce coming back for yeah. Brave New World.
Yes.
I think that's the time period. But yeah.
Really
yeah,
good.
It's great.
Okay, what is...
All right, for me.
What
so,
do you got?
So the next few, like, so that Foo Fighters one, there's some Foo Fighters connections with these next couple that I have. So, this, and I didn't know this till just tonight, but this is a band called Coheed and Cambria. They're filled with a bunch of pretentious assholes.
I know them.
But I do like this song. It's called Welcome Home. It's off their fourth album.
And he produced this.
Yeah. He produced this, and I found out tonight that for whatever contract reasons, the drummer couldn't play on it, so Taylor Hawkins drums on this whole album.
This band reminds me of just like a bunch of depressed kids out in the desert recording music.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like what is that, Julian Casanova, what's his name from the Strokes, is that his name?
Julian Casablancas.
Yes,
I think that's his name.
It'd be like if he were kind of more of a hippie, I guess, rather than like an angsty person.
Okay.
So this album's called God Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 1, from Fear Through the Eyes of Madness, which is just a clunker.
Yeah. Why isn't the Seagull Stinker
Sting? Good Apollo. That's what it's called. Good Apollo. Yeah, it's terrible.
P.U. It's a Seagull Stinkeroo.
So,
let's hear it.
So this is Welcome Home. You could And there's some discrepancy because he's credited as on some things as a producer, but then he's not. So I don't.
Oh, well.
But anyway.
He was involved.
Yeah, he's somehow involved, but I don't know if he only maybe produced one or two tracks or if he produced that one, but it is.
Taylor sounding good on the drums.
Yep.
I was just at a barbecue today, and there was a guy there I was talking to who works for the Foo Fighters.
This is why I'm mistaken. He did the other album, the Good Apollo and Burning Star 4, Volume 2, No World for Tomorrow. So that was from the first volume. And
so he did not produce that song?
No.
I thought it sounded like shit. So, all right. Well, thank you for correcting yourself.
Yeah. So that's where I was confused, but obviously because the titles are almost identical.
Yeah. And there's a terrible title.
Yeah. It's garbage.
I don't blame you. I blame whoever came up. I don't know if it was Coheed or Cambria. I don't know which one came up with that title, but they fucked up.
Awful.
Let's jump into a little Whitesnake.
Ooh.
Martin Birch produced all the early Whitesnake albums the whole way up to Slide It In from 1984. So he produced all of the bluesier rocking ones. And a lot of the bands he produced, they're very incestuous. Like I said, like, you know, he produced Deep Purple and he produced, you know, and like John Lord was in Deep Purple, and then he's in Whitesnake, and Ian Paice is in Deep Purple. I mean, it's all these members just kind of like would go from one band to another, you know, when they were kicked out.
It would
be a great family tree type thing.
It would be a cool documentary to kind of follow maybe a couple of those guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Cause you could get like, you know, Deep Purple, Whitesnake,
yeah,
Rainbow, Black Sabbath, Dio, you know, all that kind of.
There's a ton of crossover with members, and but Martin Birch is right there with all these guys. These are the bands. So the song I'm going to play is from a 1980 Whitesnake album called Ready and Willing. Kyle, you can let me know what you think of that album cover.
this is like first level Photoshop, like when you're going to put a layer and make everyone look like a cartoon. And what's this guy just in the middle of it all?
I know, like you're just, he's
they're all in like a diagonal line, and then they're like, oh, we forgot him.
Put him in. This is a song that they re-recorded 9 years later after Whitesnake was gigantic, after they were hairband level big. But it made its debut on this album. It's the opening track. It's called Fool for Your Loving.
Always good for 10 seconds of loading music.
Sure. Songs queued up really tonight, so that's why we're playing a little bit longer cuts tonight. So
yeah,
I hope that's okay with people. Late night record. We're recording on a Sunday. It's 5 to 11.
Yeah,
Pacific Standard Time. Even later on the East Coast.
Oh hey,
2 a.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah, late or early.
Yeah. Hope we're not waking anyone up.
Oh, keep it up out there.
Tune in. Right. All right. What's the next one you got?
So following with the train of of
you are going to play a song that Nick produced this time.
Yes, okay. This time I will. This is one I'm sure of. So this was he did two Stone Sour albums. Stone Sour is Corey Taylor from Slipknot. It's his other band that, because he can't not work, so every other year. And if you want to see something hilarious, watch. He's on Larry King Now or whatever that web Larry King show is.
Okay.
And Larry King cannot figure out how he's in two bands at the same time.
Wow.
He goes, so does one get jealous? And he's like, well, no, you know, like they need, he's like, I'm a workaholic, but they just need time off. So, you know, when they're off, when I'm off with one band, I'm at the other band. He goes, so they don't fight over you. It's pretty hilarious.
Do you feel like you're cheating on one band when you're singing with another band?
Yeah, I think he thought like he was like, they're not my wife. So this is their first album. This is called Come Whatever May. And this just, this is 12 years old, and last year it went platinum, which is kind of interesting, I guess. And but this was recorded at Studio 606, which is the Foo Fighters connection there. And so this is Made of Scars.
This one came from looking, this one opened twice. These two seem as smooth as silk, flush against my eyes. This one needed stitches, and this one came from rings. This one isn't even there, but I feel I'm all because you don't care.
So yeah, and that's I think I was confusing when I spoke. That's the first Stone Sour album that Nick had produced. It's their second album. So their first one's called Stone Sour. This is their second, and then he produced the third as well.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to move to guitarist Michael Schenker. He's actually here.
Yeah, this is weird. He always seems to be here when we're talking.
Late night too.
Yeah, it's you know, what I don't even know what time it would be in England, right? Isn't he from?
Yeah, he's from England. Very, very late for him. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, this is Michael.
Yes,
I hope you're all doing great. Okay. Keep on rocking.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we're going to keep on rocking. We're going to play a song from your 1982 album called Assault Attack, produced by Martin Birch. Now, Kyle, today we are listening to some Rainbow in the Car.
Yes.
And we are listening to a mental patient song. This is your mental patient song. What is it?
Since You've Been Gone.
Since You've Been Gone, written by Russ Ballard, mm-hmm. covered by Rainbow.
Kelly Clarkson.
No. the person who sings in that version of Rainbow is Graham Bonnet.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Bonnet is also the vocalist on the Michael Schenker Group's Assault Attack. So we are going to hear Desert Song.
Arabian sun, you stand, you stand to watch the sun.
Do you know how many concerts Graham Bonnet played with the Michael Schenker group?
Two.
He was fired from the group after a single concert.
Yeah. He only plays on this album.
When he drunkenly exposed himself on stage.
Oh my God. Yeah, I knew he was short-lived, but boy, Martin Birch made him sound great, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He looks like a cool guy now. He looks like a... kind of looks like Michael DeBar a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's got it together now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, no way, right?
Now he soberly exposes himself on stage.
What do you got for us? What's the next one?
Okay, so this next one is... This is a song everyone knows. This is a super group.
All right.
Called Velvet Revolver. It's their album Contraband.
I forgot he produced this one.
Yeah. So this is Slither.
So great.
Yeah, that's a great song.
That's a great song. Production's great.
My friend Dan texted me out of the blue the other day, like while I was prepping for this, and he just said, the way that Scott Weiland moves in the Slither video is unsettling to me. And I was like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. He's like kind of like a snake almost, but like upright. It's weird.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Rock and peace, Scott Weiland.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Rainbow a minute ago, so let's hear some Rainbow from 1976.
It's a great album cover.
The album is called Rising, and this was produced by Martin Birch and Ronnie James Dio on vocals here. Mm-hmm. Second appearance by Ronnie James Dio tonight. Rock and peace. That's great.
That is so good.
Rainbow, man, I've been listening to, I've been picking up the Rainbow CDs, remastered, inexpensive. Ronnie James Dio, Graham Bonnet on two albums, and Joe Lynn Turner on two albums. These Rainbow albums are great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, this is a band that was around when I was a kid, high school and younger. I don't know why you didn't get into them then. They were played on WFBG by the All Night Animal, Steve Kelsey.
Rock and peace,
Steve Kelsey. But, you know, 2018 rolls around here. I'm getting into it.
Yeah.
Finally. That's what I love about music. It's always here.
Mm-hmm.
You find it whenever you want to find it.
It's ephemeral? Is that what they say?
I guess.
Is that a word?
I think so. Isn't that the last name of your producer? Nick Ephemeral?
Oh,
how do you say it again? Can you say it?
Rascal Linux.
He should change his name.
Yeah. Do you ever take ephemeral means lasting for a very short time.
Oh, that's
you ever take ephemeral?
I do, but the side effects aren't good.
Yeah. What are they?
Well, if you're allergic to ephemeral, you should not take ephemeral.
No.
And I don't know. All those drug commercials crack me up because there's about 100 million side effects that there could happen.
They're like, it may cause sore throat, mm-hmm. nausea, death, stomach ache, mm-hmm. abdomen cramps.
Bleeding.
Wait, why is death in the middle?
I know. Why is that in the middle? All right. What's your next song?
Next song is... go with this one. This is I don't know anything about this band. I only know this song because it was on one of the Guitar Hero games. This band is called the Exes, the Exes, EXIES.
Oh, Exy. He's from the Kingsmen.
Yep.
So this is his album.
Yeah.
That kid does everything.
And this is a song called Hey You. I bet you've heard this before. Okay.
Same sound as like their Velvet Revolver.
Yeah, a little bit. Those were both from the same year too. They were both 2004.
So he just had one button on the board that he mm-hmm. would switch. This is my 2004 switch. Make all the bands sound the same.
Yep.
That was good though. I like that.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a fun song.
All the bands I've played so far are from Great Britain. Black Sabbath, Silverhead, Fleetwood Mac.
Hello.
Iron Maiden, Whitesnake, Michael Schenker, Rainbow. But now we're going to play one of the bands. It might be the only band that Martin Birch produced. It's an American band. This band hails from...
is it Boston?
Long Island, no. This is Blue Oyster Cult from the album Cultosaurus Erectus. Do you like this album cover?
I don't like the name.
You don't like Cultosaurus Erectus?
This is okay. This doesn't know what it wants to be.
Well, this song is called Black Blade.
I have this feeling that my luck is none too good. This sword here at my side don't act the way it should. Keeps calling me its master, but I feel like its slave. Hauling me faster and faster to an early, early grave. And it howls. It howls like hell. I'm told it's my duty to fight against the law.
Production's great.
Yeah.
Black Blade.
That's it says here that features lyrics by fantasy and sci-fi writer Michael Moorcock. So Bloodcock's brother. Moorcock.
Yeah, well, that's his alias.
And is about Stormbringer, a black sword wielded by Elric of Melinbone, a famous character in Moorcock's mythology.
Well, you know what, since you brought that up, let's jump to 1974's album by Deep Purple. And let's hear a little bit of Stormbringer. Here's another appearance by David Coverdale, because he was singing for Deep Purple then, and we heard him earlier from Whitesnake. So let's hear this song. Coming out of nowhere, dropping hot rain, Stormbringer. reading that David Coverdale was also considered to be the lead singer for the Michael Schenker group. I always hear that David Coverdale was maybe going to, you know, they're going to do Led Zeppelin again with him. I'm sure David Coverdale, I just feel like he was considered for all these bands that didn't have a...
Hey, Coverdale's great. How about him?
I think Black Sabbath was going to tried him out before they hired Ian Gillan. I mean, it's...
That's crazy.
It almost seems like he's just the guy. Yeah, oh yeah, he could do it.
Yeah.
So that's Stormbringer.
Testament to his talent. The Deep Purple logo should always be purple.
Right.
It's like red.
It should actually be like a really dark purple. It should be a deep purple.
Yeah.
It's red.
It's red on the cover of this album.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's like those things where it's like you read the, you say the color, not the word, or vice versa.
Where'd that name come? Where'd they get the name Deep Purple from? You have anything for me on that?
I bet I can find it here quickly.
Quickly? That's what you do when you want to make it sound like you're doing it quickly. You go, okay, it's coming up. Here it is. Okay, almost got some. Zippity doo doo. Nothing, right?
Someone's screaming because they know it. It's named after an old song that was the favorite of Richie Blackmore's granny or something like that. That's what it says.
All right. That's another crossover. Richie Blackmore was in Deep Purple, mm-hmm. and he wasn't on that song we just heard. Or was he? Yes, he was. He's in that version. Is he in that version?
Sounds like we know a lot about what we're talking about tonight.
I think we do. We're a little all over the board.
That's right. This is a song that, this was one of those when I saw everything that he produced in the list and I was scrolling down and I was like, oh my God, I love this album. This album's great. This is by a band called Trivium. They're a metal band. And this is my favorite of their albums. Some of them get like too instrumentally and noodly. This is called Shogun. And this song's called Into the Mouth of Hell We March. It's one of those bands.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
They're from Florida. For some reason, I thought they were Swedish, but yeah.
Man, we don't know what we're talking about. I thought that band was from Panama, but nope, they're from Cleveland. I'm going to go back to Fleetwood Mac because they had another album come out in 73. Two albums in 73, both produced by Martin Birch. The song I played earlier featured Christine McVie on vocals.
Was it supposed to maybe be a double album, or was it?
No, I don't think so. It's just they did it that like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this is a shit cover.
Mystery to me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mess. Oh. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what's going on.
Oh, it's horrible.
And can I tell you, I got to assume that this maybe hurt the album. Because
you think?
This album's really, really good. And that album cover is definitely a mystery to me.
Oh, it's awful.
It's terrible.
It's a beach with a, like if a gorilla walked over to a caricature stand and was like, could you draw a picture of me? That's what it's like, a caricature of a gorilla.
And what's he?
He has white coming. He has tears streaming down his eye. He has white icing all over his mouth and fingers, which he's licking. There's a cake next to him with icing dripping off of it, and then like a bite out of a book.
I mean,
it's garbage. It's nothing.
Like, why did they? And it doesn't really go with the title, other than my quick joke about that. It's a mystery to me why they would use this. But this album's great. It's really great. So this is Bob Welsh, Christine McVie, John McVie, Mick Fleetwood, and Bob Weston. And this song was a big song for them. And this is Hypnotized.
Same kind of story seems to come down from long ago. Two friends having coffee together when something flies by their window. It might be out on that lawn, which is wide, at least half of a playing field. Because there's no explaining, your imagination can make you see and feel. Somebody wants nothing, God, you're hypnotized.
Now again, we don't know what we're talking about tonight. I said that was a very big hit for them, and it was a moderate FM hit in the U.S. It wasn't released as a single. But that did get some FM airplay, and I heard it a ton, so I just assumed it was, you know, I think people know that song, so...
Welcome to the contradictory hour, where we say one thing, we play a song, and then immediately realize it's wrong, and...
Yep, this next one coming up, this is blah, blah, blah. No, well, we were wrong.
It actually isn't at all. Nothing.
Holy crap. Well, this is the producer's chair. We've done it 4 times. Maybe we don't need to do it again. Don't know what we're talking about. Martin Birch is my producer. Nick Raskaluskian is your producer?
It's Raskalinix.
Raskalinix.
Nick Raskalinix.
Raskalinix.
So this is my second to last song on my list.
All right. Well, I'll play a couple more and I'll play out.
That's fine. So this is, this was Ghost's second album, Infestissimum.
How come everything you have tonight is something that's difficult to pronounce?
I don't know. And this is like the band Ghost, for those of you who don't know, they dress as like a pope and in like makeup, and they're like overly theatrical to the point of it's like comedic.
Oh, like Kiss.
Yeah, yeah, but they take it seriously. But yeah, so it's just like it's comedic. So this is a song called Body and Blood, which is like a They basically sing all about the devil, but it's like, you know, times 100 to make it be jokey.
Okay.
But then they make good music.
So. What's this one called?
Body and Blood.
Body and Blood.
This grave will steam. Catches whiff of the hound, a dead one's burned, the casket is cold. Waiting inside someone petrified, that odor so.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I like them a lot. They're fun. They're theatrical.
Speaking of Kiss, Paul Stanley is having some problems with his voice.
Oh, yes, he is.
Do you want to pull up that clip of Paul recently? It's bordering on Meatloaf and David Lee Roth style.
Yes.
We saw him, how many years ago was that now that we saw Kiss and Def Leppard?
Two, maybe three.
Feels like it was at least, it was three.
Yeah.
And Gene, we've said it before, the show was a 10, Gene was a 10, Tommy and Eric were a 10, Paul was about a 6.
Yeah, but it was still a great show though.
Yeah, it didn't diminish the show, but Paul was not on point, and apparently he hasn't gotten better.
Yeah.
He's not sounding good.
Hold on, let's see, give me a second.
I'm almost, okay.
What do we listen to it? You know what? He sounds good.
Is that what we contradict ourselves? Yeah. Yeah, wait, I'm pulling it up. Okay, let me see. It's coming up.
I'm trying to find the one that we watched.
The one that Mike Schmidt played for us. 40-year-old boy.
Yeah, and this isn't it. But this is... What song did we watch the other day?
Love Gun?
Yes. That's what it was.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, this was from like 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Brace yourselves.
Lisbon!
They're in Lisbon.
Lisbon.
And that's a better clip than the one we heard earlier today.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's all show anyway.
It's all show anyway.
So just have them lip sync.
Just lip sync it. At this point, who cares? It's all smoke and mirrors anyway. It's always been with Kiss.
Yeah.
You know, you never
sometimes
know.
Sometimes a drum tech is playing for Peter.
You don't know who plays on any of those albums. I mean, some people know, but I mean, we always used to think it was just these four guys, but now we find out, oh, no, there's like seven drummers on that, and this guy played the lead on this. And you know,
who would you, if they were to replace Paul Stanley?
Okay.
Let's just say for singing. Let's say he's still there, he's still the front man, but for his songs, someone else sings. Who would you pick?
Someone's going to come in and sing Paul's songs.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's still in the band. Paul's going to play guitar. He's still the star child. He's still the front man.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to come in and just sing his songs for him. Boy, who can do that? I don't know. Who do you think?
I don't have an answer either.
I don't have one either. Hmm. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I guess just some generic singer.
Yeah, go get one of the Kiss.
Yeah. Kiss cover band Pauls and bring them in.
Hey, Tommy, call your Paul from Cold Gin and bring him over.
Perfect. And that guy would probably be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, Paul's going to retire and Tommy Thayer's Cold Gin Paul is going to join and it's just going to be Gene. And
yeah. Or have Eric sing half of them. Like just divvy them all up.
Add more.
Gene sings a couple, Eric sings some, and Tommy sings some.
Yeah. Add more Peter songs in there that Eric can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you go see Kiss if it was just a three-piece and they didn't do any Paul songs, but they did Gene songs, they did some Ace songs, and they did some Peter songs?
Yeah, I might go see that, depending.
Yeah. Gene has a lot of great songs.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's an asshole, but he was great the last time we saw him. That was the best I've ever seen him.
Yeah, he was terrific.
So, I don't know if it was just by comparison or if he really stepped up his game or what, but...
Felt like he stepped up his game.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go back to Iron Maiden again. This is one of Kyle's favorite songs. It's from the 1992 album. This is actually Martin Birch's last album he produced. Then he retired.
Hmm.
So the first album he did, producing-wise, was Silverhead,
mm-hmm.
1972. So he basically had a 20-year career of as a producer. He still engineered and stuff before that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the title track. This is with Bruce Dickinson. This is the final album before Bruce took a break and they got Blaze Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my favorite Iron Maiden albums for sure.
Yep, Fear of the Dark.
Jump ahead a little bit.
Sure. Let's hear some vocals.
Fear of the dark. Fear of the dark. I have a phobia that someone's always there.
I mean, he went out on a great one. How great did that sound?
So good.
So good.
And unfortunately, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was a listener who had emailed you and said because of us talking about Fear of the Dark, he gave it another listen and enjoyed it a lot more than
that's good.
The first time around. I apologize that I forget who it is.
But it's hard. We do get a lot of emails, and we try to keep up, but... You know,
and a lot of times it's when like we're just doing something else and it just comes up like, oh, so-and-so emailed me about this. But
I wonder if we have any new iTunes reviews.
I was thinking about that.
I'm going to look right now.
Check it out.
You can play your song.
All right. I'll play my last song. This is a song, you know, we played it on here before. He produced this album and the one before it. These are from... friend of the show, Ricky Warwick's band.
Okay.
Black Star Riders. He produced the second and third album. This is from Heavy Fire. This is When the Night Comes In. This song kicks ass.
I walk down Broadway in the bitter cold. See my reflection and it makes me feel so old. Boulevard in deep recession. I win a sky in deep depression. Give me back my broken life. Give me serenity beyond this strife. Give me absolute absolution from all this trouble, disarray, and confusion. This is a call to innocence. This is a call to one yourself. When the night comes in, there's a crack in the universe. When the night comes in, there's a crack in the universe. This is a call to innocence. This is a call to oneself. I got nothing, I'm prepared to negotiate. Deviating when I should be going straight.
All right, we have a new review.
Oh no.
Did I read the one from June 14th? I think we did, where it says 5 fake stars, yes. Has terrible musical taste.
Yeah. Okay.
We have one since then. We have one from July 9th. Please go on and write some so this one isn't the top one. But first of all, let me tell you that the person who wrote this is called A Plus Girl 531.
Okay.
Okay. And here's the other things that I assume a girl. It's a girl. Here's what else she has reviewed besides our podcast. She has reviewed 2 apps. One is Period Diary Pro, which is an app that tracks your period.
And good review?
She says, great app. A++, 5 stars. This is a great app for tracking. So far, you can actually track after 37 years. I don't know what that means.
I guess she's 37 years old.
I guess so.
Track it.
All right. Then she is also...
Or it lets you, you could jump 37 years in the future and know when your period is. Maybe either or.
She also has reviewed the Bible app.
Oh, no.
It says, good, but offline mode needs work. 4 out of 5 stars. I really like the app, but it needs to be able to work without Wi-Fi, and offline mode also needs work.
You need that worship.
So, now here we go. July 9th.
Or you could just carry your regular Bible.
Right. July 9th, 2018. It's about a month ago. We get, the title of the review is Lacks Insight. 1 star out of 5. And let me read. I listened to 40 minutes of the Rolling Stones 1971 to 1978 episode and gave up. More emphasis is placed on their attempts to be funny than to provide any kind of insight on the subject.
Oh, we are a comedy music podcast.
I know. 20 minutes of unrelated discussion, a few song snippets, and a bunch of random jokes. I will not be trying any other episodes. By all means, first of all, judge us on one episode.
And by the way, hey, lest ye who is not judged cast the first stone.
And I assume the week she listened, she was on the rag. So track that. Oh my God. That was a good episode. That's a Siegel episode.
Yeah, that's a Siegel episode. Doesn't like Siegel. We probably talked about cocaine.
Yes.
This makes me want to go listen to the first 40 minutes just because he's probably like, oh, these fucking assholes. Talking about the boat.
These religious people.
I'm surprised she made it 40 minutes based on her reviewing a Bible app and being salty about it.
Her period tracking. You can't make this up. You couldn't make that up that she reviewed us, a Bible app, and an app to track her period. Are you kidding me? And 71 to 78 Stones is great music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a good episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, the rock and roll is the devil's music. And
that's true too.
I don't care for that.
That's hysterical. Again, I always like to see what else they review.
Now, is that when... What was that? What's that album? Satanic Request or whatever? On Her Majesty's Satanic...
No, that is not in the 70s. That's still in the 60s.
Oh, okay. So that's why she steered clear of that one.
Even Sympathy for the Devil is in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what she's all up in arms about. Okay. Let's. Do you have another song? Are you done?
I don't, but I'll give a shout out to some other things so people can check it out. He's done... So Nick Raskolnik. Yeah, Raskolnik has done... done some Alice in Chains albums from 2009, and there was another one, but I can't find it now. Oh, from 2013, 2009. He did some Deftones albums. He did Evanescence's self-titled, which is like their fourth album, which always weirds me out when they that never makes sense to me.
No.
Rush, Mastodon, if people like that. Apocalyptica, he did a Korn album, so everyone makes mistakes. He did an album by a band called 10 Years. I have not heard that album, but I do like their other stuff. And he did the latest Hailstorm album.
Hailstorm.
Which is a band that I initially thought I didn't like because there's a band called Ailstorm that is terrible. But Hailstorm is good, so check them out.
No, everything you said lacks insight.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, could you excuse me? I have to change my pad.
And I don't get Wi-Fi in here, so how am I supposed to read the Bible while I do it?
Amen. I want to clarify that David Coverdale, Richie Blackmore does play on the Deep Purple Stormbringer album.
Are you sure that she didn't listen to this episode? Because we do lack insight.
We lack insight here. If she would give other episodes a try, she should jump from that one right to this one, and then we would accept her review. But anyway, Stormbringer, Richie Blackmore is on that album. Okay.
Hi, so, your comedy music podcast for all things both new and classic. Hey, they don't know anything, and these are all jokes. Why are they talking about Snidely Whiplash for an hour?
I'm going back to Whitesnake
because
Martin Birch produced Slide It In, which is the album right before the band broke really big. But this actually has that Whitesnake sound that that everyone comes to know. And this song is called Guilty of Love.
Okay, the beginning of the song sounds exactly like some Thin Lizzy song.
Oh, let's hear it again. I think you're right.
That guitar?
Yeah, it does. What's funny, because this is the U.S. release, and on the U.K. release, guitars were played by Mick Moody, and the bass was played by Colin Hodgkinson. They remixed and did some re-recording before they released it in the U.S., and on the U.S. version, Neil Murray plays bass, and John Sykes plays guitar. John Sykes was in Thin Lizzy for their last album. Ooh. So there is some shenanigans happening.
Yeah.
And anyone who
But thinks, I can't think of what's on. Maybe Tom Neuerberg.
Yeah, Tom, if you know, play one more time just for Tom. Tom, which Thin Lizzy song does this sound like?
Wait, 1 second. The guitar part specifically.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Tom, there's your homework, Tom. If you choose to accept it. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back to Blue Oyster Cult. This is from the album Fire of Unknown Origin. What do you think of that album cover?
I mean, it's all right. You know, in retrospect, I don't mind the Cultosaurus Erectus now.
Why? Because this one's worse?
Yeah, and the Cultosaurus one's cool, I guess. It looks, I don't know, it's like kind of sci-fi fantasy. I guess I gave it a bad rap.
All right. Well, this is Fire of Unknown Origins, the second album that Martin Birch produced for Blue Oyster Cult. And
this has a big song on it, right?
This is the big song.
Oh, yes, it is. I didn't even see what song.
It's got other songs. It's got Joan Crawford. It's got...
She's Risen from the Grave.
Yes.
That's a horrible music video.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's one of the worst.
It's like in an apartment, like...
It looks like they patio. Went to an abandoned, like, motel that you would see in The Walking Dead. Like,
you have to see that video. Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
This has got some great songs on it, but let's hear this one. I'm not even going to say what it is. Everyone knows the song. One of their top three biggest songs, three or four easily. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, I could listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, and he Martin Birch produced that.
That's great.
It's a great producer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it just started to dawn on me, like, all the stuff he produced, and that's actually why I said, hey, we need to do another producer's chair. Yeah, Kyle,
don't bother looking anything up, either of us.
No, this
we'll
was
figure it out.
This was really like like today, I'm like, hey, we should maybe record tonight. Get one under our belts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stack one up.
Yeah.
And this is what we get. Are your songs cued? No, neither are mine. It'll be fine.
We'll be fine. Do you know anything? No.
We'll be fine. We lack preparation for this one. We had the songs.
Lack knowledge.
Yeah. What time is it? 20 to 12. That's late for Michael Schenker in London.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty late for him.
Forget it. Don't even play him. Okay, here we go. I got a play out song. Kyle, you're at Kyle Dotson Funny. We were at Rock Solid Show.
Yeah.
Patreon is at patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. Patreon's doing well, but it's, we'll lose a few people and then we'll gain a few people. So it always stays about the same. I would love to get to 200, 200 supporters, but I don't know how to do that. I think we're at 168 or 169 right now.
And if you donate $12, that's $1 per apostle. You'll get a Wi-Fi, an offline version of the Bible.
Also, $1 if you donate $12, that's $1 for every time you get your period throughout the year.
Yes.
You get it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's insightful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at Pat_Francis. We're going to go back to Black Sabbath, the second Black Sabbath album, Mob Rules. We're going to play the title track, Rock and Peace, Ronnie.
Second one with Dio.
Now, here's...
It's not the second one.
No, what are you talking about? One star. So they record the Mob Rules, the song, for the heavy metal soundtrack. They record a demo of it, and they send it to... They think they're just sending it in to get approved for the soundtrack, and then they're going to record it for real. But the soundtrack people say, no, this is great. We got it. This is good. So the version that's on the heavy metal soundtrack is actually them just... You know, they wrote the song, and they just recorded it very roughly. And that's what they did. They just thought they were doing a demo, but that's the version that's on the heavy metal soundtrack. So then when they go to record Mob Rules, the album, they re-record it with Martin Birch, and they feel like they didn't really get the energy on this version that they did on the demo version, even though they tried and tried and tried. But both versions are still great, and we're going to play the one produced by Martin Birch, and this is the Mob Rules. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks.